The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Hello and welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast in association with Boyle Sports. Now, we had the English National last week, won by the very game at Noble Yates. And we have the Irish equivalent this week with the Boyle Sports Irish National from Fairy House. As well as that, we have flat action on Saturday to cover from Newbury and Musselburgh, as well as some other action from Fairy House on Sunday. And to preview this excellent Easter weekend of racing, I have three fantastic guests joining me as always. Racing Post, Keith Melrose and Mark Boylan, as well as Boyle Sports' very own Leon Blanche. Leon, back from Aintree this week, which was some festival, but look, Boyle Sports are sponsoring some of the big races from Fairy House this weekend, and none other than the Irish National. An excellent few days coming up for you guys.
Yeah, look, it's going to be a fantastic Easter weekend at Fairy House. It starts on Saturday, culminating obviously with the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National at 5 o'clock on Easter Monday. It's our inaugural sponsorship of the Boyle Sports Gold Cup, the Novice Chase at Fairy House, which is the main attraction on Easter Sunday. All roads hopefully are leading to Galloping Deschamps lining up in that 2.5 mile grade one, and that'd be fantastic for Irish racing fans. He's probably the most talked about chaser in racing at the moment, certainly as a novice. And he was electric at Cheltenham, and just for that little mishap after the last, he would have been an emphatic winner of his particular race at the Cheltenham Festival. But hopefully we get to see him at Fairy House on Sunday, which leads us beautifully into the Irish Grand National on Monday evening.
It's an excellent week, and it really is. And hopefully Galloping Deschamps can make up for Cheltenham. It's such a shame. He looked like he was going to win that by lengths. But we will discuss that later on in the preview. Keith, a bit of a hybrid of good jumps and flat action on this week's postcast. And are there any races that you're particularly looking forward to this week?
Yeah, the Greenham should tell us a lot, shouldn't it? We always think of it as a Guineas trial, but I think it just had a bit of a moment, really. And it is a race that horses that ran mostly over six last year, they have a go at seven and we see how they are. The flat is going to get more attention this weekend because the jumps is starting to peter out. But that card at Haydock, where, spoiler, mild spoiler, I'm going to nap there on Saturday, is still quite valuable. So there's still something for the jumps fans to get into too.
Okay, looking forward to hearing who Keith's nap is later on in the preview. Mark, I've actually just read your stable tour of Jessica Harrington today, which is a great read. If you do get the chance, do check that out via the Racing Post app or in Thursday's paper. How are things, Mark?
Good, good. Raring to go. Absolutely love this time of year where we're getting these big flat hopes coming out again. We had Native Trail during the week at Newmarket and still have so much good stuff to look forward to between Fairy House and Punchestown. So yeah, champing at the bit.
Native Trail, a very good performer. I'm sure Maddie will discuss that in the review on Tuesday next week. Now let's get into the racing. The first part of the preview will dedicate to the flat with four races from Newbury and the Queen's Cup from Musselburgh. The second part will be looking at Fairy House, and then we'll get the gentlemen's naps of the weekend. We also have all-weather finals day on Friday. We're not going to be covering that card there, but the gents might have a couple that they may fancy on the card at Newcastle. Now, let's start off with Newbury with the 150. This is the Dubai Duty Free Finest Surprise Stakes. It's actually registered as the John Porter Stakes. It's a Group 3 over a mile and a half. Now, the markets at the moment, because we're recording this on Thursday, they aren't currently up, but you're probably going to expect to see the likes of Illarab and Thunderous towards the top of the market. Now, Keith, Illarab looks a likely, probably favouring here. He's a Group 3 winner already over course and distance by winning the St. Simon Stakes at the end of last season. And he's a horse who does tend to go well fresh.
He is, and he was going forward at this time last year, and he went through the handicap grades and then ended up as a respectable lower group horse, which is the sort of horse that runs in this race. When he won the St. Simon Stakes, horse in second was Max Vega, who is a horse I'd probably put up in this race. He does get a £3 pool the weights with Illarab, who's got a penalty. Max Vega does not. And I just thought with Max Vega last season, they basically bet the farm on the Ebor last year. They gave him one run before it to get ready, and he was held up in a race where that didn't really suit, and he got a bit of travel and running too. So his main target for the year was blown out the water. A couple of runs afterwards, he did actually show the sort of form he showed at three when he was second to the Rab in that race. I think with this year, they might not try and put as many eggs into one basket and have a better campaign with him. And I just thought he had a better chance of reversing the form than the very early prices were giving credit for.
Okay, yeah, Max Vega to potentially reverse the form for Keith. Now, with regards to this race, Leon, we actually see the 2020 Dante winner in Thunderous in here, and it's fair to say this horse hasn't done too much since the Dante, but can he get himself back to winning ways potentially here?
Yeah, look, I suppose when you win a Dante, I think a lot of people are kind of hoping that you will progress into being one of the better three-year-olds, but it just hasn't really happened. I don't know. I wouldn't be taking a big, big chance on him. I'd rather watch. It's a watch and brief for me just to see how he performs. Raymond Tusk was very impressive last time out for me, winning at Doncaster. I'm surprised he only went up 2 pounds, really, for that particular victory. He's got a bit of fitness on his side, and I just think he could run quite well again. Ilarab and Max Vega, they're very closely tied in. Ilarab obviously gone up to 108 for a length victory. Max Vega's been left on 105. But I'm going to take a chance with Raymond Tusk. Just was impressed with that win last time out at Donny. And I just think the handicapper might have still given him a little bit of a chance.
Okay, Raymond Tusk for Leon there. And Mark, we're at the stage of the season still where we're seeing horses for the first time, and it's not easy to know how they're going to go well fresh, but what's your take on this one?
I'm actually with Leon here, and I think that angle that you've just highlighted there in terms of race fitness versus freshness, like Raymond Tusk comes here, a win 3 weeks ago has it his name. You're looking at the rest of them, with the exception of Red Verdon, they're nearly all off the track for 200 days. So in a race that could get a little bit tactical as well, because it's not obvious to me in terms of pace how it's going to shape up. I know Thunderous has gone forward in the past, but I don't know, I just get the impression he's better with a lead as well. You know, on ratings, and then you factor in the potential for him to improve, having been gelded since we've last seen, Thunderous is the one I'd fear most. But just think, as Leon said, there's a lot of class about Raymond Tusk. I know he's been frustrating down through the years. There's been plenty of days when I was hoping for him to collect and he didn't. But I just think that angle now, just having that run under his girth, you know he handles ground like this. He actually won his maiden at Newbury before. Just think he ticks enough of the boxes here to have a big sale at a price that's fairly reasonable, you have to imagine.
Yeah, Alan King's Raymond Tusk for both Mark and Leon. Keith siding with Max Vega in the opening race from Newbury. Now let's move on to the second race. This is the 225, the Dubai Duty Free Stakes. This is registered as the Fred Darling Stakes, Group 3 over 7 furlongs for the three-year-olds. And William Buick and Charlie Appleby team up with Wild Beauty here. And it's fair to say, Leon, they've had an excellent last few days, especially with Native Trail winning the Craven.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're absolutely on fire for Team Godolphin, Charlie Appleby and William Buick. 6-4 favourite now with Boyle Sports Native Trail is for the 2,000 guineas. But in terms of this particular contest, Wild Beauty, she's probably going to start favourite. I think that's fair to say. Grade 1 winner at Woodbine under Frankie Dettori. She won also at Newbury over 7. And I just, look, she's a worthy favourite, but would I want to be backing her at that type of price? Probably not, even though the stable are in particularly fantastic form. Jumbly, for me, didn't handle the dip at Newmarket when she was fourth in the Rockfell, and then she went on and won a listed race at Newbury under Holly Doyle. But a horse here that I'm going to take a chance on, and it is a bit of a chance, but it should be a bit of a price, is Miss Carol Ann. She won her maiden on good ground and definitely did not handle the soft ground at Newbury on only her second run on a race course. And I just think at a bit of a price, you should be getting around about 14-1 around Andrea Azzini's mount. I was just very taken with her maiden victory, and I like looking for something with a bit of value in a race of this nature. So for me, a tentative each-way selection for Miss Carol Ann.
Roger Varian was very complimentary with regards to Miss Carol Ann's recent stable tour as well. Keith, like Leon said, probably a worthy favourite with regards to Wild Beauty. She does look the standout in here, but is she worth taking on?
Don't think so. I think she should be. I mean, the early prices have her about 11-4, and I think she should be shorter. She was very impressive in Woodbine, and although we know what to do with North American turf form normally, she was still very impressive. Eased right down, nothing went right for her even so. And then I didn't think in the Fillies Mile much went right for her really. She came with the proper horses and was looking like maybe finishing second or third, but maybe didn't quite handle the dip that well and just fared a little bit. should be fine dropping back to seven. She's got plenty of speed, and I thought she's the sort of horse that should be 7-4, really.
Wow, beauty. Yeah, she does look like she could be an outstanding filly potentially this season. Mark, would it be Wild Beauty for yourself in here? Is there something at bigger odds like Leon's mentioned?
Yeah, I can see the case for what Leon has stated there, but Wild Beauty is just solid. And, you know, last year's winner, Alcohol Free, she had that kind of top-level form proven coming in here. And you're getting a similar sort of thing with Wild Beauty. For the last run at Newmarket, agree with what Keith has put forward, but it also threw into the mix there. It's 19 days for a two-year-old filly to travel back from Canada to Newmarket and, you know, contest a Group 1, and she still wasn't disgraced. You know, I think it was probably a shot to nothing at the end of a season that had, you know, started fairly brightly. So, you know, I'm willing to give her the benefit of the doubt for that run. And it's still a reproduction of that will make her competitive here. So, Wild Beauty for me, I think she's a solid option.
Yeah, this could lead on to much bigger things with regards to Wild Beauty. So Wild Beauty for Keith and Mark and Leon with a bit of a price around 14-1 with Miss Carol Ann for the Roger Varian stable. Let's get into probably one of the highlights on the card there at Newbury. This is the 3 o'clock. This is the Watership Down Stud. Two darn hot Greenham Stakes. Group 3 over 7 furlongs. And look, 6 go here, but fairly strong 6, if you ask me. Obviously, in recent years, we've seen some decent winners of this race. Mahaffa, Muharrar, Kingman, and obviously the mighty Frankel. Mark, it's great to see Christophe Soumillon coming over for this ride once again on Perfect Power. I think they teamed up to win the Middle Park, and also I think they teamed up to win the pre-Morney, but prior to that, I think Paul Hannigan rode this horse when they won the Norfolk. But look, it's great to see him over here, the French maestro. Do you think that's the way to go here?
He's definitely the classiest horse in the race. I think 7 is good for him. A mile would make me a little bit more suspect, albeit there's some encouragement on the dam side that he will stay this far. Like, look, at a two-year-old form, he sets the standard. But just this race here, like, maybe will play to his strengths. But again, I don't see a huge amount of pace here. And Lucille was the one I was coming down on. He's gone forward in the past. Again, end of a long season at Doncaster. When we last saw him, he was fourth in the Champagne. You know, I don't think we saw the very best of him. An angle kind of that I like this time of year, that you can kind of forgive maybe the final run of a campaign for a juvenile. You know, Perfect Power. He is very, very difficult to take on with conviction. But I just wonder if this got a little bit muddling. Lucille, he has plenty of gears as well from 6. He could be a little bit more forward here. You know, Flaming Rib is an interesting one. For all that, he has to improve on last season's form. Pretty sure that I heard Hugo Palmer speaking during the week about trying to settle this horse. It's obviously his first start for him in the wearing a hood. He's gone forward in the past as well. So you're kind of, it just could be quite messy here. It's a race that I think I'm going to learn a lot more from in terms of clues for the season going forward rather than make cash from. But I think Lucille probably would carry my few pound if I was getting stuck into it. But it's a tricky, tricky race. Lucille, for me, with Perfect Power, is solid.
Lucille, probably sitting around third in the market, and it's probably going to be around a 4-1 shot for this race. Leon, Angel Blue and Perfect Power, they're going to be the two that probably sit at the top of the market. Would you be with one of those?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, both of them are like double Group 1 winners. Angel Blue won the Jean-Luc Lagardère over 7. It was very, very heavy that day, then went on to win the Criterium International over a mile, but that's a pretty easy mile with the 2.5 turns. So, I mean, you've got to just wonder, best form on really, really testing ground. It's not going to be really testing it at Newbury on Saturday, is it? So, Angel Blue as a favourite, I think it's one that bookmakers will probably look to take on. I've got to go with Perfect Power. I thought he came from an absolute impossible position to win the Middle Park at Newmarket. Yes, you can say that they finished in a bit of a bunch, but I think if Perfect Power had an easier passage, it would have been a way more emphatic victory. So for me, I'm going to go for Soumillon to team up with Perfect Power and win the Greenham.
Soumillon to stay home, Perfect Power in the Greenham for Leon. Keith, it's an interesting one, the Greenham, because you either get a Guineas type come out of it, or you might look towards more Commonwealth Cup types in here. What do you expect with regards to a few of these horses for the future?
There do look to be a lot of sprinters in this race to me. Perfect Power is a very fast horse. Lucille, Mark's selection, there is a bit more ambiguity in him, a bit more of a grey area, because, yes, he pulled far too hard when he was in the Champagne Stakes, and that might have been him failing to settle. It might just not have been him knowing what to do over a longer trip. But he has got a little bit of speed in the pedigree too. He's a Maymass. Perfect Power's by our dad. You know, there's another Maymass in the race in Gubbass, who won the Super Sprint at Newbury last year. A lot of speed in this race this year. And although I've no great conviction in the race, Angel Blue, I thought, made a lot of sense as a selection. Yes, the form's all in fairly deep ground, but he has... he doesn't necessarily need it. And I think on his pedigree, there's a little bit in there that says it doesn't necessarily have to be testing ground. His form would be just about as good as perfect powers. You know he's not going to go mental if they don't go at much of a pace, whereas, you know, these sprinting types, you always fear about them boiling over if they don't go that much of a gallop. So I was inclined to take a chance on Angel Blue with no particularly great conviction. The prices around 6-4, 13-8 would reflect his chance.
Okay, I saw Angel Blue actually win the vintage at Goodwood. I was very impressed with Angel Blue that day. It's going to be very interesting, this race. Angel Blue for Keith, perfect power for Leon, and Lucille for Mark. No agreement with regards to that one there. Now, we'll end the preview of Newbury with the 3:35. This is the Spring Cup handicap, Class 2 handicap over a mile. It's a nice-looking open heat here, Keith, at Newbury. Who are you going to be with in this one?
Well, with these big field handicaps on straight tracks, I'm always a massive draw fan in terms of where the pace is. It's nothing about, oh, the bias is this and the bias is that. It's always about where the pace is, and the pace in this race is all in the middle. In fact, bang in the middle. There's 17 running here, and it's stall 9 is potentially one of the pace angles in Animal Instinct, but you've also got two one side of him. You've got Isla Kai, and then in the slightly higher half, you've got Salim, who made most of the running in the Lincoln. And Rogue Bear's drawn right in the middle of all that, so and he very much caught the eye in the Lincoln. However, he was... The way that sort of panned out isn't maybe how it looks on as the eye would have it. The leaders did off actually go pretty quick in that race. So don't go thinking just because of what your eye tells you that he should be much, much shorter than Salim. But drawn the other side of Isla Kai, Rogue Bear's in 8, drawn in 6, so therefore near the pace enough to get involved as a Terpineer, who I was quite interested in. Hadn't had many goes in his career. Started off with... David Ellsworth had won a maiden for him, then went and had a season, well, had a long time off actually, and came back for Marcus Tregoning last year. Didn't quite get going for Tregoning, but on his first start for Tom Ward, came out and won a race at Kempton. Now, caught the eye very much, as far as I'm concerned, with how he moved through from the back of the pack with Soar Above, who he came clear with. This is a big horse, so I can sort of see where the problems have come in. You know, these big horses are more likely to go a bit awry, but he's always looked quite a promising horse. He comes in as a result very unexposed, even though he's now 5. Going back to miles, certainly going to suit him. He's drawn near the pace. I see a lot to like. And yeah, the Terpinator at a bit of a price for me.
The Terpinator, Holly Doyle, is going to be around a 20-1 price. Yeah, fair price there from Keith. Leon, plenty of good horse in here. As Keith just mentioned, a few horses coming from the Lincoln. And Modern News being one of these, who's a bit of a gamble in the Lincoln. He'd probably have a chance for an in-form team.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're absolutely flying at the moment. Charlie Appleby's team and Modern News, what was he beating? 3 1/4 lengths in the Lincoln that was won by Johan. I had looked at it and was going back through the Lincoln and Salem, Irish Admiral and Rogue Bear, and to Keith's point around the pace, Salem and Rogue Bear are the two that kind of are drawn closest to the pace. Unfortunately, if you're an Irish Admiral fan who was 4th in the Lincoln, he's drawn 4. So he's a good bit away from that kind of pace angle. I just think Rogue Bear, he was left alone in 87. It was a very, very good run to finish 3rd in that Lincoln. Salem obviously was 2nd last time out. That was a good run, in fairness, back on turf. But I just think Rogue Bear being drawn right next door to the pace angle, I think that could be the winning of this particular contest. He's not a huge price, granted. He's probably going to start favoured around about the 7-2, 4-1 mark. But I think Rogue Bear could go very, very close in this. And you know, the straight course will suit. He'll be beside the pace. So for me, Rogue Bear is good enough to go and get his head in front here. And it'd be a big enough win, in fairness, for Tom Clover.
As Leon mentioned, Rogue Bear likely to be the favourite in this race here, around 4-5-1 for the race. Mark, I believe David Menouzier, he actually sent out 2 to France yesterday and had 2 winners out there. Migration runs in here off top weight. Do you think that's going to be a tough task?
Probably will be, but again, I like the profile. Lack of a recent run wouldn't panic me hugely. But the two that I kind of came down on here overall, Modern News, I know he's been beaten in the Lincoln. I know it was disappointing if you were a supporter of him on the day, but I actually thought he ran quite well to even finish where he did, considering the right look to be on the wall from a fair way out. It wasn't going to happen. Ridden by 7-pound claimer Harry Davies in the day, and William Buick takes over now. I just get the impression it was hard to come from off the pace in the Lincoln. I felt, you know, the ones that fought it out were there on the front end for most of it. He kept plugging away. Like, he was a 5-1 shot to win that. You're getting even more value for him here. That experience as well. Like, you know, he ran in a relatively kind of decent sized field in Maidan, but 22 runner handicap at Doncaster, that's the sort of experience that I think would put hairs in his chest nearly to come out for a race like this. He had been, you know, in smaller fields typically prior to that. You know, look, at it's not a particularly bullish show, but I think each way, I can't see him not being on the premises if taking a step forward. I think he will from that run. And the other one, now this horse is an absolute monkey, I'd imagine, but Trey Flores has loads of ability compared to his mark of 88. And, you know, he lost his way towards the end of last season. He started his career in France, and he was proper horse in France. Now, it's a long time ago, but, you know, he was borderline Group 1 horse. I think he was second to Thunder Snow at a Prix-Jean Pratt once. But fresh, again, is the angle that I might like with him. Johan won the Lincoln first time up for Mick Shannon, first start of the season. And this horse, again, first start of the season. You go back through his form in France. Even his first Irish start for Ken Condon, he ran really, really well in a listed race at Navan and didn't quite go forward with it. You know, I just wonder, is this the time to try and catch him? Now, look, you're trying to make the case for him, you know, in terms of ratings. He's down to 88. Like, he's been up far, far higher in the, you know, in the 110s previously. He's not that type of horse now, but just if it all clicked for him, he is going to win a handicap off that sort of mark. Whether it'll be Saturday, I can't tell you with huge conviction, but if he did run well, it wouldn't surprise me at all. So, Trey Flores, a small... I keep half an eye, and if there was any market support, it would encourage me a little bit more. But modern news and Trey's floor each way for me.
Sam, just another one, if I don't mind, just along what Mark is saying, throwing in one at a big price. Oh, This Is Us for Team Hannon and Shawnee Levy. I just think dropping down the handicap, if you're looking for a horse who's coming back to a kind of weight that should give it a chance of running competitively, I think This Is Us at around about a pony, 25-1, could outrun its odds at such a big price.
Okay, the Terpinator for Keith, Rogue Bear for Leon, Mark with Modern News, but a couple of each way shouts from the guys with Trey Fleur and Oh, This Is Us. Trey Fleur has been in my notebook ever since he came over from France and has been a bit of a monkey, as Mark has said, a bit of a horse that's difficult to get right. Let's head up to Scotland now, to Musselburgh for the 3:14, where the highlight on the Musselburgh card is going to be the Betway Queen's Cup. This is over 1.75 miles. Now, it's a great race of staying handicap, is this one, Leon. Ian Williams has sent the favourite Enemy out to Maidan for a few runs. He was actually well beaten in fourth behind Manobo, who's probably going to turn out to be a Group 1 stayer this season. Now, is Enemy probably a worthy, well-handicapped favourite for you?
Yeah, look, I mean, he outran his odds there, really. I mean, he was a 66-1 chance when he ran in that Group 3 at Maidan. Look, he was beaten a little over six lengths. It wasn't that bad of a run, in fairness, because I think Manobo will prove and will frank that form quite considerably as the season progresses. Look, Ian Williams had a winner at Aintree last week. He's got Daniel Tudhope's assistance in the saddle here. Official rating of 99. You would imagine that Enemy has got to be better than that. You would imagine he's got to be able to get himself into at least a 105 or a 106. 0-10, the man of the moment, Emmett Mullins, of course, Grand National winning trainer with Noble Yates. That horse is rated 107. I don't know whether we can see that much more improvement from 0-10 on the flat. So I'm thinking if Enemy can get up to close to that mark, it should give him a squeak here at landing a very valuable handicap, it has to be said. Look, I mean, you're talking about a 100 grand race. Enemy is probably going to start favourite. He's around about a 4-1 chance. But the horse that I think could put it up to the lot of them, the Max We Can. Around about 6 or 7-1, I'm hoping to get at least. Maybe we might be able to get a little bit more value than that. I just look at some of the runs on the Max We Can. It's won over 2 miles at Goodwood. And the one thing about the Johnson horses is, you know, this horse is going to be absolutely primed to its life to win a valuable handicap like this. So for me, the Max We Can to win the highlight at Musselburgh.
The Max We Can, trained by Charlie and Mark Johnson. Keith, I was actually going to get on to them. They've got free entered in the race, the dual traineeship licence. And I just think that potentially they're the way to look in this race, because they do have a good record of running well, the Johnsons.
They do. Well, it's the same mark yard as Mark Johnson days, so let's sort of assume that yes, it is the joint license now. But Mark Johnson was always one. If there was a big prize, if there was a race that had a really eye-catching prize fund, Mark Johnson would be guaranteed to flood it. And obviously they're carrying on that trait with the yard, with Charlie now having his name on the licence as well. But Max Wiekan won this race last year. The ground was rattling quick at Musselburgh, as it can be. It's not meant to be this year. I think they've had a slightly wetter spring so far up on the east coast of Scotland. So that would maybe put me a little bit off him. I think also, just incidentally with the Johnsons, three entries is on the low side for them in this race. I think they might have had four or five last year. So it's other people, as I was saying just off air there, the people that tend to target this race are the really clever trainers that are looking through the programme book and trying to deliver proper value for the owners. And yes, Mark Johnson's always been very good for that. But also so was Emmett Mullins. I really do fear 0-10. This has got all the hallmarks of a race that he's really picked out in the programme book he's got. It's 51 grand to the winner. It'll be possibly the weakest race there is for 50 grand to the winner. So I can see he's got, by the way, did I say it up to take £7 off this horse's back? I'm a bit scared of him. However, the horse I am going to be putting up is Surumi, the Richard Hannon horse, who was second to Raymond Tusk, who's had mentions on the show already. Obviously, he runs in the John Porter. This horse has never only once run beyond a mile and a half. And that was when he was sixth at Haydock in last July in the race Tashkan won. Now, we all know Tashkan. He went on to run pretty well at Group 1 level. And Surumi didn't seem to quite get home that day, but that was soft ground at Haydock, and it was a really wet time. And you know what Haydock's like when it gets soft. So you're well willing to give him another chance. His dam, Rain de Plage, she's a half-sister to, oh, the horse's name's gone out of my mind, but it finished second in the Derby and the Ledger, Mojo Star. So there's a lot of other stamina in the pedigree too. You've got horses that stayed well beyond a mile in there. So I don't worry about him not staying. I like the fact that he races prominently. It's a massive thing around Musselburgh, even though it's a mile six race. The bends are so tight, they have to bank them. And last year, Ben Curtis actually won this race for the backs we can with a move down the back when the race was at its slowest, because if he'd stayed where he was, he'd have been absolutely humped. So, Surumi, I like that he races prominently. I think he'll stay, especially under these conditions. I'm not a mad fan of the draw, which is 13 of 17. Is it 13? No, 13 of 14. It's still 12 inside of him. He's a horse that I'm pretty interested in. So if he gets a nice position under Ross Orion, I can see him running a big race.
Richard Hannon's horses are running really well at the moment. So Surumi for Keith in the Queen's Cup. Mark, have you got anything at double figure odds in here?
I think myself and Keith are the same thinking on this, but I'm going the other way around. I'm going to side with 0-10. And, you know, the reasons that Keith has already outlined, this fella, you just get the impression that every year in them colours, the me colours, it's all about the Galway Festival for them. But this was surely the first target of the season. Galway would be the second target of the season, you have to imagine. And, you know, the fact they're coming here fresh, I wonder how they just kind of figured out that this is when you see the best of 0-10. You know, he's won at Galway last year after 250-odd days off. He won a Galway in a couple of years earlier than that, 90 days off. He won a Leopardstown Novice Hurdle, 168 days off. Again, his bumper at Galway, a year off. You know, I just wonder, coming here now, first start since October, they're trying to try and catch him at the right time of year. And Ben, why did I say it? Eye-catching jockey booking, to say the least. So 0-10 will do for me, but I had a bit of a toss-up between himself and Surumi.
0-10 for Mark in the Queen's Cup. Now, that's the preview of racing from Britain this week. Join us in just a few seconds. We will switch all eyes over to Ireland for the card at Fairy House.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to the weekend postcast with myself, Sam Hart, Keith Melrose, Mark Boylan, and Ball Sports' Leon Blanche. Now, on to Fairy House we go, gents, and we'll kick things off on Sunday with the 3-10. This is the Irish Stallion Farms EBF Mares Novice Hurdle Championship Final, Grade 1 over the extended 2.5 miles. Now, this looks a cracking contest, this, Mark. Obviously, we haven't had the full declarations as of yet, but so many quality mares in here who are definitely going to be competing for more Grade 1s next year. Now, plenty of strong form angles in this race, especially with the likes of Love Envoy, who's the Mares Novice Hurdle winner at Cheltenham, and it looks like she's coming over.
That's it. I think that's the plan. I did a piece during the week with Noel Feely. It's obviously the Noel Feely Racing Syndicate that owned this mare with Harry Fry. And the plan when I spoke to him during the week was that she'd come over, and she's been a revelation for them. Like, picked up, I think, for 38 grand after winning a point-to-point bumper at Wexford. You know, Noel said they weren't even too sure when she went to Leicester for her first start over hurdles how good she was, but she hasn't put a foot wrong all year. And this is a race actually that Noel and Harry Fry teamed up to win, a bit of a puzzle in 2015. It was actually Harry's first Grade One winner, I think I'm pretty safe in saying. Oh. And they were second a year later with Jesper's Dream as well. You know, look at this race, is she has an excellent chance, you'd have to think, but it's so hard to get a proper handle on dissecting at the moment, because I think over the 22 entries, 13 might be of Willie Mullins at the moment. There's 8 mares, I think, as well, who finished behind Love Envoy, and the mares and novices hurdle still in the entry stage. So, look, we're going to have a better picture when the declarations land. I suppose Brandy Love is one that we didn't get to see at Cheltenham. She was ruled out at the 11th hour. And, you know, that was, if you could tell Willie Mullins how disappointed he was that he didn't get to run her. So I'd be very excited to see how she gets on. But just going this direction, I mean, she just jumped so badly to her left previously. I'd have to have concerns going here at Fairy House. You know, in terms of natural ability, I think she's every bit up there with the best of them in here. But just that, I'd find it very hard to support her. I suppose Dino Blue, like, she was sent off 11-8 favour on the day for the Mayor's Novice Hurdle. Like, that was serious cash. And the vibes have been very, very strong with her from after she'd won her Clonmel Maiden Hurdle. You know, she'd be the one, you know, if to put it up to Love Envoy, if she's back in top form, because we didn't see the best of her. Maybe it was all a bit too much off the back of one run. We've seen before in that Mayor's Novice's Hurdle at times, it can take a mare that has had experience, you know, that has, even we saw Concertista obviously come back a full season later and do the job after being just touched off in it a year earlier, I think I'm correct in saying. So, you know, Dino Blue, maybe this is Fairy House can be more a cup of tea than Cheltenham off the back of such little experience. But Love Envoy, the one stick that I would have to beat her with is just the ground. It's going to be quicker than it was at Cheltenham by the looks of it. Fairy House were watering even on Tuesday, I think, when there was still rain coming that day. So they are doing their best to for the surface to be safe, as far as I'm told. But just, you know, I don't think it's an immediate concern for quicker ground than Cheltenham. You know, she did jump and travel better with the view from them on soft ground as opposed to heavy, what she encountered before. But look, it's going to be a good race. We've seen Honeysuckle and Annie Power win this race down through the years. I don't suspect we have another one of those in here. Love Envoy is worthy favoured or worthy close to favour, whatever she will be on the day. But Dino Blue, she might just be the lurker there with more to come.
Okay, Mark potentially believes that Dino Blue could serve it up to the Harry Fry horse in here. Leon, it is a really fascinating race. We obviously don't know what Willie Mullins are going to send, but Brandy Love was a very short anti-post favourite for the Mayor's Novice at Cheltenham. Dino Blue was a horse who went very short on the day, was well backed at Cheltenham, and we have the very game Love Envoy. Where are you looking here?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's almost impossible to try and work out what Willie's going to run, but the money for Dino Blue on that particular day into 11-away favourite, it was like everyone at Cheltenham was backing her, and maybe the occasion just got to her. Look, she was beaten 17 lengths. That's surely not her true running. You've got to give credit where credit is due. Mark has already spoken about Harry Fry winning this race before. Love Envoy was very good at the Cheltenham Festival. One for me that could run a race is Impervious for Colin Murphy. She ran a decent race in that Mayor's Novice at the Festival. She was beaten 7 lengths when she finished 6th behind Love Envoy. As Mark alluded to, they were putting a bit of water on Fairy House earlier in the week. There is a good bit of rain due. I think it's maybe going to start on Sunday, and most of Sunday looks as if there's going to be plenty of rain falling at Fairy House. To be fair to Peter O and the team up there, they always ensure that it's very, very safe ground. So I think any rain that does fall can only be a help to him and his ground staff team. But I just like the look of this Colin Murphy mare, Impervious. She has got form when she won at Listowel on good to yielding. She beat Bally William Boy that day. Then she went, obviously, and won her next time out when she was going right-handed. She beat Sit Down Lucy in a Grade 3 by 5 lengths at Down Royal. Fairy House, she wasn't great that day in the race that Statuaire won by 6 1/4 lengths when she was beaten into 5th. But I just think on a little bit better ground, Impervious for Colin Murphy could run a race at a bit of a price. Maybe people will overlook her because of her last two runs, but I thought the run at Cheltenham was decent enough. But you'd have to say the favourite, which probably will be the Harry Fry trained Love Envoy. She does set a standard, but you know what mares are like at this time of the year. It's whoever wants to go and do it on the particular day. So I'm going to give Impervious a chance to get a little bit of redemption back for her and her connections.
Impervious to potentially outrun her odds in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle Championship final for Leon. Now, the last race we'll preview on the Sunday will be the 4:55. This is the Ball Sports Gold Cup Novice Chase, Grade 1 over 2.5 miles. Leon, I'll come to you for the market on this one.
Yeah, look, I mean, I suppose it all revolves around Galopin Deschamps, really, doesn't it? He's been such an exciting jumper. I think from the first time people saw him at Leopardstown, the way he just attacked the fences at the Christmas meeting over 2.5 miles. I mean, he was a winner by 22 lengths that day, but it was the way he just loves the fence. Stepped him up, obviously, into Grade 1 company the next time at the Dublin Racing Festival. And Willie said he took a couple of chances, but he certainly took a couple of chances at a few of them at Cheltenham as well. But it didn't stop him. He absolutely broke Bob Olinger's heart. Now, maybe Bob Olinger wasn't the same horse on that particular occasion, but it was just the way Galopin Deschamps was going to win that race. He would have absolutely bolted in. So for us sponsors, we're hoping that he lines up. He might scare away a bit of the opposition. But you know what? You should be never afraid of one horse. There's plenty of Grade 1ers in this particular race. But it's all about Galopin Deschamps for me. I just think he's so exciting. St. Sam, if Willie decides to put him in here, he unseated quite early in his particular contest at the Cheltenham Festival. And you would imagine 2.5 miles would suit. I mean, Willie obviously opted for the Arkle. On that particular occasion, he had finished third behind Blue Lord at the Dublin Racing Festival. But I always thought after that run, the way he finished the race after making a couple of mistakes under Rachel Blackmore, I thought that stepping up and trip would suit St. Sam. So if Willie was to enter him as well, he could chase home a stable companion. But for me, all about Galopin Deschamps. I think he's a 9-4 on favourite at the present time. He's not a backing proposition, but I just hope that the Irish public get to see him at Fairy House on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, Galopin Deschamps, he's the star on the show on the Sunday, as Leon mentioned, and potentially another each way angle with St. Sam. I think St. Sam's a horse that a lot of people have looked at throughout the season, especially going into Cheltenham, a few people putting this horse up. Keith, it's probably an obvious one here, like Leon said, a 4-9 favourite in this, but Galopin Deschamps for you?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, you look at this race going back about 10 years and see you line up Galopin Deschamps and what he ran to at Cheltenham, that RPR's 175 against the last 10 winners. He's won this race by 10 lengths and Albin Foote was second. So it shows you the level that he was running to at Cheltenham when he came down. To what extent he beat Bob Olinger and to what extent Bob Olinger beat himself remains moot. But it probably isn't that relevant in this race. He should just win it. And you just want to see him get round and show a little bit more of what he's actually about. Because, look, it's been considerable style so far. But we need to... I want to see a horse take him on a little bit. But we'll see how that one goes. I agree with Leon. If they decide to run St. Sam, he's the one I'd be watching out for. Because I do think he's not had many goes at all over fences. You know, he went from winning a beginner's chase at Fairy House and straight into the Irish Arkle where he shaped as well as anything and then came down early on or was basically hampered and half brought down in the Arkle. So he's not had many goes at all. Second in a Fred Winter last year as well. Horse that not necessarily seen the best of, but again, Mullins has half the field and they're not declared yet, so who knows what will run. Let's hope Galopin Deschamps runs. Let's hope something steps up to give him something remotely resembling a race and let's see what he's all about.
Mark, Leon and Keith both mentioning that, you know, Galopin Deschamps, the very likely winner in here, but giving a big mention to St. Sam. Have you got similar notes to them?
I think St. Sam makes sense, yeah. I don't think he'll beat Galopin Deschamps. I don't think any of these will. You know, you just wonder with some of these, after Willie Mullins signaled his intent during the week, with some of these, think about Punchestown only around the corner and the possibility of swerving him here because, you know, for all of this is a Grade 1 and good prize money. If you're a connection to Gabby Nacco, for example, and you're second in an Arkle to Edward Stone, could you turn up a punch then over 2 miles and, you know, be close to favourite for that Grade 1 and the back of that performance? You know, it will tempt some of these and I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a few of these go by the wayside. I thought Riviera to Tell would be half interesting if she turned up here from an each way point of view. You know, she's not going to beat Galopin, but you know, I didn't think we saw the best of her at Cheltenham, you know. And prior to that, you go back her run when she's an unlucky second in the Irish Arkle, she's given Fernie Hollow a real race of it. You know, look, it hasn't quite worked out for Gordon at Cheltenham, but we saw it Aintree after thumping the crossbar. He finally started hitting the back of the net. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she ran well, but Haught on Kallur is maybe, if he was a price on the day as well, you know, I'm not giving up on him entirely. You know, I don't think it's all gone totally to plan for him. And, you know, look at Willie Mullins here in this race in the last few years. I think he ran three last year, there were 1, 2, 3. He ran two the year earlier, there were 1 and 2. And he might have had the 1, 3, 4 a year earlier for all that he fired a few more bullets at it. But yeah, Galifian is the one to beat if he turns up here. And if he doesn't, my God, it's an open grade one.
You'd be a very brave man to be taking on Galopin de Champ if you were to turn up here. Now, let's get on to Easter Monday then for the big one. This is the 5 o'clock at Fairy House. This is the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National Chase over 3 mile, 5 furlongs. Boyle Sports currently going 5th place on this one, Leon. What is the market saying for the Irish National?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's I'm not going to say it's been absolutely off the charts in terms of anti-post, but it has started to pick up a bit of momentum. Obviously, we'll know the final declarations at about 30 runners and the 3 reserves at around 10:05 Friday morning. We'll have the final declarations at around about the same time on Sunday. Look, the favourite is Galliard de Mesnil. He's 6-1. Novices have got a really good record in the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National. It's the 150th running of the race. I know Willie Mullins was quoted in the Racing Post as saying maybe he'll have to carry a lot of weight and it might just put paid to his chances, which could happen. There's no doubt about that. However, he does have a nice enough profile for the particular race. He's got to carry 11 stone 6 at the moment. So you do have to go back to 1995 to find the last horse to carry such a big weight to victory. I think our Duke, who was a novice when he won the race back in 2017, he carried 11 stone 4. So look, the stats are against Galliard de Mesnil. Farclas, he's come in for a good bit of support. The Gordon Elliott runner obviously skipped Aintree, which is a big, big help. I think when you've got €500,000 in prize money in total, you know, this is a race you should be targeting if you've got the right particular horse. He ran a blinder at Aintree 12 months ago. Max Flamengo would be a brilliant story for the Fleming family. 8-1 chance, the Casey family, excuse me, an 8-1 chance at the moment. Next couple of horses, I'm just keeping an eye on. Schoolboy Hours, he nearly fell at the 9th at Aintree and he was pulled up. He's a 10-1 chance. Dead Duty is another one who could line up here again after going to Aintree. But then I'm starting to get into a couple of horses that I think may have a squeak, certainly if the rain that they're expecting falls on Sunday. The Old Care is one that I've been keeping an eye on for trainer Noel Mead. Now, he does need to have soft underfoot conditions. But as I said, the rain is definitely due to fall at Fairy House on Sunday, and quite a lot of it. And Jigginstown will be well represented in this particular contest. I thought he was a very good winner last time out at Nace. He won the Leinster National, which is over 3.5 miles, a furlong. Now, it was soft to heavy, or maybe even heavy, on that particular occasion. He beat Ronald Pump by 0.5 length. The other run that was a very good run for me was when he was 4th in the Tiestes behind Longhouse Poet. Longhouse Poet was just doing way too much at Aintree, but he had a perfect position. He still ran a very respectable 6th at the Grand National. So I think the form has been franked. And I just think if the rain comes for the Old Care, I give that one definitely a big, big squeak. You'd love to see Max Flamingo for Francis Casey, Dennis O'Regan on board. The Boyle Sports Irish National, it always throws up a bit of a story. And this would be a phenomenal story. And we all kind of remember Peter Casey. He was a character of a man, Lord rest him. You wouldn't know what he'd say on TV when he was interviewed after the great horse he had. What was a Fleming Star? He was liable to say absolutely anything, but he was great crack, a real character of the game. And certainly it would be an unbelievable story if Francis Casey, who doesn't have that many horses, Mark will tell me, I don't know, maybe has 6 or 7 horses, but it would be a tremendous story for Max Flamingo to go and win the Boyle Sports Irish Grand National. They'd be the two for me.
Okay, it does look, it would be a fantastic story. Max Flamingo could potentially be very well handicapped. But Diol Kerr, if the rain does come for Leon, for Noel Mead team. Keith, Giggenstown, they have 11 in the race currently, Farclass being the shortest of the lot. Do you think this year's race could go their way?
I do. You basically spiked my guns, to be honest. Farclass was high on my list for the national. He ran in fifth, I think, in Manila Times as national. That was just trying him out in a big, you know, in a test like that to get see what how he would cope with a real test. We've still not seen the depth of his horse's stamina. He's been saved since then. You know, he came into that race having been second to the shunter in the plate at the festival. Fifth in that race, you know, he was unseated when he ran in the Kerry National, and then he was second in the Troy Town when we last saw him. Now, that was just, you know, he wasn't that strong at the finish there. But again, it's a race where I think we're just getting him, you know, the national was always the plan, or the spring certainly was always the plan, and decided at the last minute to run here rather than Aintree. It might be wise. This horse jumps well. He maybe is, if he's going to get caught out, it is because of stamina. But I think he's definitely got a big pot on him off 151. I think he deserves to be the favourite for this race. So out of fear of missing out, for definite, I'm definitely going to be having a little bit on Farclass in the Irish National.
Farclass potentially going to be difficult to beat for Keith. Mark, you may not have had the national winner from last weekend, but I've given you a second chance by coming on the podcast this week to try and find the winner of the Irish equivalent.
Thanks, Amelia. You're very generous. yeah, I must say, I was fearful for a second there. The broadcast and standards authority could be on to us if Leon was to repeat some of the stuff that Peter Casey had once said in an interview there. But I'm sure you'd be able to find it on YouTube if you're that way inclined. He was some character. And yeah, I think Leon is correct there. Six horses, sheep farmer, you know, it'd be absolutely out. And I tell you what, he's a decent trainer. He's got a good twist out of one or two this season. Palace Rock, I think, done pretty well with him. You know, I'd love to see it happen for him. Last week I gave a good mention to NJ Dallin, and he was probably second on my list for the national, and it came a cropper for him at the first. Just one of those things, just came to it and made a mistake, and just unseated Conor Rory, gave him no chance. You know, you go back to the record of horses since 2007 who have tried to go from having an early exit in the national to turn around and run in either air or at Fairy House. It hasn't really been exceptional, but Vicente would give you some encouragement. He came down at the first in the national in 2017 before going on to win the Scottish National. I think it was the 22nd of April and the 8th of April. So we're not a million miles off that sort of time frame here. I think NJ Dan will run well. If I fancy him to go close in entry, I'd have to fancy him to go close here. Third in it last year on better terms than he was with Runwell Fred on that clash last night or last year. I think he will run well, but just at a price. I think off you go. I think he'll run well. I put him up during the week at 50s. I think that's gone. But I still think he's probably value at the moment. Sixth in the race last year. Last year's race, if you watch it back, it's pretty much you couldn't get involved from off the pace. It was nearly like a triangle of, you know, Run Wild Fred, Freewheeling Dylan, NJ Dallin, and throw in latest exhibition there as well. They were all handy throughout. And off you go, who might have been ridden kind of with stamina in mind. And had to do again, I'd say they would have done the same thing. But you know, he looked, I thought at one stage, as if he had no more to offer, but he kept rallying. He finished sixth, and a big handicap, that's when you see the best of him. I'm happy to disregard a couple of runs in conditions races, you know, over hurdles and fences lately. Trained by Charles Burns, he's going to have a lovely race in weight, should Franco Laporte stick in there as the top weight. You know, I just think he's going to run well at a price. He hadn't really been on my radar entirely for this race, but as the race has cut up substantially from what it had been in terms of pre-entry entries. Obviously, Giggenstown are wheeling out, or planning on wheeling out Run Wild Fred and Debt Duty again pretty soon after. So it'll be very interesting to see how they get on. But I think off you go at the prices. I think he will run well, and NJ Dallin too. They're both nice each way prices, and I'm sure Boyle Sports will probably be giving you an enhanced place or two in the day. So yeah, they'll be the two for me.
There we go. Keith and Leon, both with Giggenstown parents. Farclass for Keith and Diol Kerr for Leon. Obviously going to mention Sir Max Flamingo as well. But Mark's taking them on with the JP pairing of Enjoy Dallin and Off You Go. Be a really fascinating race. See who comes out on top. And I'm sure Maddie will be reviewing that on Tuesday. Now, that's the panel's thoughts on racing from Fairy House. But join us shortly where we'll get the thoughts on races elsewhere, as well as get the gentlemen's naps of the week.
The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Welcome back to the weekend postcast, where we're going to get the gentleman's naps of the weekend.
This will not be beaten.
Keith, is your nap coming from some of the races that we've previewed this week, or is it coming from elsewhere?
It's coming from elsewhere. We talked about the prize money at Musselburgh that sort of goes relatively unheralded. And there's a race, a whole card at Haydock on the same day, the Easter Saturday card there. That's the Challenger Series finals day. Some valuable races there for sort of second tier horses. So they deserve a bit of praise for that. But it's actually on the race that doesn't fit one of those series that I'm going into. The last race is a veterans chase. Basically a not to, essentially a not to 120. In fact, it is a not to 120. And I'm going to put up Encounter a Giant. This is my nap, isn't it? We are asking for naps here, aren't we?
Yeah.
Now, Encounter a Giant is my nap of the weekend. I've been watched him. He first turned out this season for Alistair Ralph. He run ahead of her as a novice chaser, went missing for a while from rules racing, but won a few points. Came back this year for Alistair Ralph, and first run, couple of runs especially, just looked like a horse getting back to somewhere. And then last time in a race at Haydock, where he ran into a very well-treated horse and progressive horse in Tim Patz over 3.5 miles. But that day, he did look like he was starting to show something, like he was ready to maybe become the horse he looked like being before he first disappeared from the track. I think he's got them for speed as much as anything else. And he now runs here. He gets his marks dropped £3 more. He wears a tongue tie, but Jonathan Burke will not be so hesitant in pulling the trigger this time. He knows what he's dealing with in this horse. It's a weaker race for me. You know, it's a not 120 veterans race. You've not got horses, you know, Christmas in April's top weight. He's looking a little bit on the way out recently, to be honest. Chef Dover beat him last time at Haydock, but had the run of the race. It looks a much, much weaker race than Encounter a Giant's been in so far. He is building back up to some sort of form. And yeah, I thought he was really eye-catching.
Okay, Encounter a Giant, I think the 5:34 at Haydock on Saturday for Keith. Leon, what's your best bet this weekend?
Look, I am very, very sweet on Raymond Tusk at Newbury in the 150. However, I'm going to go to Cork on Saturday, the 3:25. It's a listed race for fillies and mares. And one I am quite taken with, and I think it's absolutely teeming in Cork as we speak. So she should get ground conditions that will be favourable. There's a bit of rain for tomorrow as well. Barrington Court, Jesse Harrington for jockey Shane Foley and for owner JP McManus. And certainly one that I think people, you know, I'm a bit of a sucker for names. And when they're named with a lot around them and some significance, there's a horse called Martinstown running for Aidan O'Brien in the 4 o'clock at Cork. It's a maiden for three-year-olds and over a mile and two, owned in part by JP's daughter, JP McManus's daughter, Suanne Foley. Keep an eye on Martinstown in that 4 o'clock at Cork on Saturday.
There we go. Okay, Barrington Court in the 3:25 at Cork for Leon, but do look out for that horse, Martinstown, ridden by Wayne Lorden. That's at 4 o'clock at Cork. And Mark, who's your best bet this weekend?
Going to head to Fairy House for the 4:50 on Saturday, the Rybo Handicap Hurdle. Valuable race again, 100 grand. And I don't think it's an outstanding contest for the prize money it's an offer. A horse that have an awful soft spot for his hearts or trumps. Now, this year's form, he's difficult to fancy in any shape, but Fairy House just seems to bring out the best in him. And he won this race last year. Took a flyer on napping him then. We'll have another go on napping him here. He'll be a bigger price, but he's going to be a couple of pounds lower. And I like the sound of that. You know, overall, this decent ground we're going to get. If Leon is expecting rain on Sunday, that's fine. Let it come on Sunday, but Saturday, let it be dry for this guy because he's at his best when there's decent ground. And, you know, I think in handicap terms, if Desmond Tunnell does have him back to near his best, he's going to be very, very interesting here off a mark of 129. You know, he's been freshened up since his last run at Down Royal in October. Again, soft ground then. You know, they tried him on the flat a couple of times. I'm sure that'd be an option for him to head for a handicap there at some stage. But he's rated somewhere in the 70s. But hearts or trumps, go back to his Fairy House record in these valuable handicap hurdles. He always shows up well. And when he gets decent ground, he can surprise a few. So, you know, like last year, he went and he beat Magic Tricks. I don't necessarily know. Just looking at this year, perhaps William Owens is one or two interesting ones popping up down the bottom of the weights. And Gordon Elliott has Dlan. But I'm not so sure there's that type of kind of sexy profile in there amongst them. And Arthur Trump's going to do for me at a big price. He'll be 20-1 plus, but he'll do for me.
There we go. Okay, three selections coming from the Saturday for the gents. Keith with Encounter a Giant. That's in the last race at Haydock. Leon's going to be with Barrington Court in the 3:25 at Cork. And in the 4:50 at Ferry House on Saturday, Hearts or Trumps for Mark. So there we go. Hopefully we have found you a few winners to celebrate this four-day bank holiday weekend. If you are going racing this weekend, do have a great time. But as always, do remember to gamble responsibly. We'll see you soon.